You're listening to another podcast exclusive episode of High and Tight on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you stream your favorite podcasts. I'm Logan Prone, and Major League Baseball coming to an agreement with the union this Friday that outlines what a 2020 season may look like during this coronavirus outbreak. Of course, that coming a day after Major League Baseball was supposed to start their regularly scheduled games, those being canceled due to the outbreak of COVID-19 in the United States. The biggest question that players, fans, and organizations had going into this season, or lack of a season where we don't have baseball, is how the league was going to address service time, that being the amount of games that a player had to serve to qualify for free agency. Now, the way it currently stands is Major League Baseball, with this new deal, is going to grant service time to all players regardless of how many games that are played. Whether it's, you know, a full 162, which looks very unlikely, half a season at 81, 100 games, there's talks of 130 games, or if there's no games at all. Regardless, Major League Baseball players are going to receive a year's worth of service time. This benefits the players who were supposed to hit free agency this year, as guys like Mookie Betts, JT Realmuto, we'll talk about them in a little bit, with a special guest, by the way. Those guys are going to hit free agency, as well as, you know, anyone else whose contract is up. They're going to hit free agency as planned. And for a shortened season, it's going to be prorated. So that's the biggest thing, is service time will be awarded to players despite not getting any productivity. It's a big win for the union, for the owners. It really makes them want to push for at least a shortened season so they get some sort of productivity, a little bit of their money's worth for these players. Another issue that got solved, you know, to say, in this deal is the issue of players getting paid. So that, with salaries, is going to be prorated. So for half a season, 81 games, half of the guaranteed money is what the players are going to get. If they get 120 games in, 74% of that guaranteed money is going to go to the players. Bonuses and other clauses and contracts involving money are going to be treated the same way, weighted on the same scale. Now, if the season's canceled, this is according to a report from Jeff Passan of ESPN, a salary advance of $170 million will be awarded to the, well, I wouldn't say awarded, just given to the players collectively for April and May. Now, for players, this guarantees that they're getting paid, which was, again, a big issue with Major League Baseball suspending their season and canceling play. But again, it does have that protection that for players that do not make these massive multi-million dollar contracts, you know, it makes sure that they're going to have money to put food on the table. So it's a good deal to make sure that players aren't going to get cheated out of money with service time, as well as make sure that they avoid not getting paid at all while, you know, this hiatus from baseball is upon us. Also, now to turn to some other changes. Major League Baseball, in this agreement, said that they won't begin until there's mass gatherings aren't banned. Mass gatherings are allowed. That would allow teams to play in front of their fans, and you have to think this would allow teams to play in their home stadiums as well, avoid neutral sites, you know, avoid playing in spring training venues, or avoid playing in front of empty stadiums. Also, they won't begin until there are no travel restrictions, stay-at-home orders, things like that, as well as when they have the green light for medical professionals and they see that the games are not really a health risk to the players and personnel that have to be there. I do think it is important to note that these standards, again, you're going to see the owners push to get these games going, even with these standards, with how service time is now going to be awarded, with how salaries are going to be dispersed. You're going to see the owners want to play these games. They're going to want to get fans at these games as well. A third of baseball's annual revenue comes from ticket sales. And then you have to also figure in merchandising at the stadium, you know, vendor deals, sponsorships, advertising. All these things go into making baseball the multi-billion dollar industry that it is. And so, yes, there are these restrictions to when Major League Baseball can resume, but you know that the owners are going to be pushing for baseball to resume with fans in attendance. They want to make money. At the end of the day, baseball, at least at the Major League level, is a business. And so, again, we're going to have to see, you know, whether or not they will play in these venues, you know, spring training or without fans. Because, again, that's going to kill the revenue that Major League Baseball can make this season. Another thing that has been put into this deal, and really, I guess, to help facilitate what could be a shorter season starting, again, hopefully in June, is an expanded roster to 29 men. Now, with this, you're obviously going to have to carry more pitchers, because if you're looking at doubleheaders, you're going to need more arms, you're going to need more, even just utility men on the bench, fresh arms, fresh bats, you know, fresh legs on the base paths. It's going to be an interesting dynamic. Again, I personally think that you should just keep the 40-man roster, you know, honestly in the dugout, almost like in college. You know, when you look at a college team, there's about 30 to 40 guys on a team in one dugout. So for Major League Baseball to, again, for a shorter season, have that kind of roster, I think wouldn't be that implausible of an idea. And I understand then you're adding more people to a dugout and then you're risking exposure. But you're risking exposure and contagion of this virus if you're playing games no matter what. So might as well just expand the roster and let the teams have the resources, that being the players that they need, to play the most competitive championship season that they can in the shorter amount of games that are more than likely going to be all we get for 2020. All right, we're going to turn over to potential extensions that we can maybe expect in the next few weeks. We're going to bring in a special guest, my twin brother, calling in from my hometown of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, Sam Perrone. Sam, thank you for joining us. You know, you didn't have to, and I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me. Doing nothing here anyway, so.
All right, so Sam, obviously Mookie Betts is the big name on the free agent market this season, barring that the LA Dodgers can't reach an extension with the all-star outfielder. We all saw, as a baseball community, the Dodgers make this trade and really seem like the big winners here, but what is the potential that the Red Sox come out on top in this deal?
Well, so you gotta think, there is the true possibility that Mookie Betts doesn't even play a game in Dodger Blue. So think about that and what they gave up to get him. They ate a lot of David Price's contract and Mookie Betts' contract. Now, not all of it, but the Dodgers gave up one of their top prospects in Jeter Downs. So if, you know, you're getting an aged David Price who obviously isn't as good as he was in the past, and they gave up he looked like a very promising prospect in Jeter Downs. So it kind of looks like if Mookie Betts isn't able to play a game in Dodger Blue and they aren't able to re-sign him, then it looks like that the Red Sox actually came out of winners in this one.
And now for the Dodgers, again, like you said, they gave up a lot in this trade to acquire the superstar Mookie Betts, and they thought that they were going to have, and again, most Major League Baseball predictions were saying that they were going to be the front runners for a World Series title this year. What price value, then, can you put on Mookie Betts if he doesn't have that year leading into free agency?
Well, I know Mookie Betts right now is coming off, I wouldn't say a bad season. He had a great season in Boston, but it was a down season from his MVP season the year prior. So we're still looking, I think, on a terms of AAV, something of what Bryce Harper have gotten, maybe even a little bit higher than that, like $30 million per year. And so the question is, do the Dodgers really want to give Mookie Betts that contract, having him not play a game for them? Realistically, I would say they should try and maybe give him like a short-term deal, kind of like they offered Bryce Harper before he signed with the Phillies. Something short, but with respect to AAV that Mookie Betts obviously deserves.
And, of course, another big name that you and me know pretty well, JT Realmuto, entering the last year of his contract, too. For the Phillies, this is a key moment to secure an all-star caliber player, is it not?
Oh, no, absolutely. JT Realmuto, he happens to be my favorite player, but, you know, regardless of that, I'd like to see the Phillies sign him just from the standpoint of the leadership he has in the clubhouse and just what he means to the team. You know, the Phillies haven't had a solid backstop since essentially since Chooch left back in, I think it was 2016 or something. And, you know, it's important that the Phillies bring in all-star caliber guys, and they have with Didi Gregorius, you know, they got Gene Segura, obviously big name Bryce Harper, but JT Realmuto has been the best catcher in baseball. I mean, with his mix of offensive talent and defensive capabilities, he's the guy I think the Phillies want to have in the long term. Even though they have some good catching prospects coming up, it's really important that the Phillies get to see him this year to determine his value going forward.
And with Realmuto, obviously he won a Silver Slugger and a Gold Glove last year, was high up there in the MVP voting. Again, also an All-Star last year. So for Philadelphia, you know that this is going to be a high-cost player going into this offseason and going into negotiations regardless. There are talks that 5 years, $130 million, around what Paul Goldschmidt got from the Cardinals is what he could be seeking. Do you think he's going to, one, get that kind of money, and two, beat Joe Mauer's annual AAV record for a catcher?
It honestly wouldn't shock me. I think, you know, when you look at the best catcher in baseball the last decade, you would argue that was either Buster Posey, Yadier Molina. For Yadier Molina, it was his defense. For Buster Posey, it was a little bit of both. I think Realmuto has capabilities beyond both of these from both of these great players from both standpoints of the ball, and especially Joe Mauer is one of the top-rated catchers, but he never was necessarily the best hitter consistently. So far, we've seen Realmuto be a consistent hitter in the big leagues while being a very strong defensive catcher. So I think you're going to see him, you know, he lost his arbitration case, which is only about $2 million less than what he wanted, but I think you're going to see him get a little bit more than that in terms of an AAV value, maybe even upwards of about $18, $20 million. It really depends on what the Phillies are willing to put out for him.
And from Realmuto's standpoint, do you think it'd be wiser in his decision making to just say, I'm not going to even try and make an extension and test free agency? That being, without a full 2020 season, could it diminish his value in terms of getting an extension or even on the free agent market?
You know, I think there's a really good chance that regardless, he might test the market, because he obviously has been touted lately as one of the best catchers in baseball. So there is a chance. I think it really comes down to what's more important to him. Obviously, baseball is a business. You can't deny that. It's the sports world. It's the reality that we accept. But it really depends. I think Philadelphia has a great opportunity to win in the near to distant future. So I would say if he's really intent on winning a World Series, then Philadelphia might be the place. And I know he's really comfortable with the pitching staff that they have in there now with Nola Arrieta. And I'm pretty sure him and Wheeler have been, especially early in spring training, they're getting on the same page. And I think he likes where he's at. So I think it really comes down to, does he want to try and go for a ring with Philadelphia, or does he want to try and establish himself as, the greatest catcher in baseball of, this decade or however he looks at it. So I think if he wants to do that, then he'll test the market. But if he wants to win, he'll try and stay in Philadelphia.
All right, Sam. Thank you for giving your insight. Appreciate having you, and I'll hopefully see you soon.
Thank you. You too. Stay safe, buddy.
Before we move on, a note I forgot about: the deal struck between Major League Baseball and the union on Friday. It does impact the draft that was originally scheduled for June. That has been given the possibility of being shrunk down to only 5 rounds, and of course a lot less money being poured into players that do get drafted. So we may see a lot more talent staying in college. We're definitely going to see a lot less international signees. Right now, especially with teams squeezing money and the international signings being pushed back as far as potentially, early 2021. But in terms of other news around Major League Baseball, the biggest one and really the only big news coming out was that Noah Syndergaard of the Mets on Tuesday was announced by the Mets that he was going to have Tommy John surgery that was performed successfully on Friday in Florida, despite some criticism from the media and the public for having a surgery at a time where quote-unquote non-essential procedures have kind of been postponed by most major facilities around the U.S. However, they got the procedure approved, citing that it was necessary because if it wasn't taken care of, it would have caused more damage and harm to the individual, that being Syndergaard. So he will be out for whatever bit of 2020 that we get, almost another Chris Sale situation. This does affect the National League East in a big way. The Mets' stronghold, you know, unless Cespedes comes back and has a comeback player of the year season and leads his team to glory, which Mets gonna admit they will not do that. The loss of Syndergaard in the rotation for 2020 is going to severely hurt the Mets' chances, and I really think it puts them at a fourth place finish behind the Phillies. This team rides off their phenomenal starting pitching. You have DeGrom, Syndergaard, Stroman, Steve Matz is a really good left-handed guy. This team had a really good staff, and that's where I believe my confidence came to say that my own Phillies that I love to death were going to finish in fourth potentially if they couldn't get their act together. This reassures me that I believe that the Mets are going to hold that fourth place spot at the end of 2020, barring that we do have a 2020 season. Their offensive production just isn't enough to cope with a loss like Syndergaard. So, again, big implications for the National League East, even if it is a shorter season. The loss of a starting pitcher like that is detrimental to any team. And that is it for this week's edition of High and Tight. We will be back next week with another podcast exclusive edition of the show. Until then, have a good week, folks. We'll see you next time.